Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this show. Thank you for listening. Did the announcer say it's Tim Wildman hosting? I think he did.
Yeah.
He did? Okay. Yeah. I've only heard it 1,747 times, so I forget.
But that's what happens. Is you just it's white noise at some point.
And why did you say white noise, Ed? Why can't it be... Why can't it be brown noise or yellow noise? Why white noise?
Huh? That's white privilege.
Everything's racial, isn't it? Ed, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good.
Okay. Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good to be here. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back. Had a little 24-hour situation.
Yes.
That I'm well from.
Yeah, we've all moved our chairs a little further away.
I'm not contagious. But anyway, joining us from Kansas City, Kansas, is Dr. Ray Pritchard.
Ray's, who?
I know. He's been out of commission for a few weeks. Ray, how are you, brother?
Hey, I'm doing good, Tim, and great to be with all you guys and with all of our listeners. I have been down and around and coming back from my bike accident, so great to be back.
How long ago
guys.
Was that now?
That was on the second day of January, so this is my first time on the air this year.
Right.
So
Ray, what lesson did we learn from your accident?
Okay, there's a number, but there's one most basic. When there's ice on the trail, stay home. Stay home.
Now, there is nothing funny about what happened.
No.
Because he had a very serious break. Really, Steve Jordahl was describing what they had to do to Ray on the trail.
Who had to do?
I guess the medical people. Oh. I mean, his ankle, his foot was turned backwards.
Okay, that's all I needed
okay.
to know.
So there's nothing funny about that. However, when I saw the picture of Ray laying on the path, propped up on one elbow.
Waiting on the medics.
Waiting on the medic, and he was smiling.
Yep.
I said, now that is our Ray Pritchard.
That's right.
So you had major surgery, broke your leg in two places, right?
And
ankle. And my ankle, and dislocated my ankle. So when I hit the ground, I looked at my leg, and because of the adrenaline, you don't feel any pain at first. Without going into too much detail, Tim, I saw my ankle go all the way around. It was like one of those ESPN slow motion plays.
Stuff.
That's right. That's what I saw. But, you know, it doesn't hit you for a moment what's really happened. I held my leg up. I was laying on the ice, held my leg up, and my ankle was dangling off the end. You know, that's not a good sign. You don't want to see that.
And not only that, but Steve Jordahl, I'm assuming it wasn't fake news when Steve Jordahl told me, but he said because of the severity of the wrenching action, blood was cut off to your foot, and the paramedics had to rectify the situation right there. Is that true?
They have, basically, the way they actually happened a few minutes later when I got to the emergency room, but everything else exactly correct. The doctor said, you're losing blood flow because I broke two bones in my lower leg and a bone in my ankle and dislocated it. So that's why it's hanging off. And so the nurse, they gave me a little Dilaudid, which sort of like does, you know, but doesn't really knock you out. So the nurse grabbed my up around my shin, and the doctor grabbed my ankle, the injured, and started yanking. Eesh. I thought it was the end of the world. I thought it was the trumpet, bowls, vile judgments of the book of Revelation poured out on the earth in front of me. Pain like I have never known. And he kept doing it and yanking. Because, you know, got to get it back in alignment.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it because I got biker's legs. I mean, those muscles pretty strong down there. They had to give me some other stuff to put me out. And then he did it again and put it back into alignment. And then I had a surgery. And then I had another surgery. And I still have one more to go before all of this. Then I can get on the... get on the road to recovery. Basically, my life right now is BBR, bed, bathroom, recliner. Bed, bathroom,
recliner. So, Ray, you're not a drinking man, but while he was yanking on it, You were about to ask for a swig of whiskey, weren't you?
Listen, I understand why they would give whiskey, right, in the old days to knock you out. Because you're just watching them grabbing that injured ankle, and I mean yanking to beat the band. So I thank God for pain meds, right?
Oh, yeah.
Really thank God. Yeah. Really thank God for that, and good medicine and all that. And so it's a couple of months yet before I'm going to be up and around. I mean, you know, back to whatever normal is. So bed, bathroom, and recliner, and I got my walker, and I'm hopping around on my walker. And but wow. I've gotten good enough now that I can go downstairs. We live in a tri-level here in Kansas City. I got a walker on the upper level, a walker on the middle level, and one here now on the bottom, which is where my office is, and that's how I could do the broadcast this morning.
Wow. The next picture we see of Ray on the trail, it'll be on a tricycle.
You still got that exercise, Ray.
My boys asked me about that picture. They said, you look like you were posing for a centerfold. I said, I really didn't know how to answer that. I know what the proper response to that was. But, you know, if you do Facebook, you think, always get a picture, right? So while I was laying on the ice, this guy came along and took my picture. And so that's... You know,
well, we're glad that you're, you know, back with us here on the program, and we will continue to pray.
And we apologize to our listeners for the heebie-jeebies, because that's probably what they got listening to that story. But
yeah, that's very descriptive.
Yes,
of the accident.
There's probably a book coming.
we're working on it, even as we speak.
Doesn't surprise me.
All right, what do you got, Fred?
All right, big, big news coming out of the United States Supreme Court this morning. The Supreme Court says our military can implement transgender restrictions. 5-4 decision this morning. Now, you know, back when President Barack Obama was in office, one of the things that he did back a few years ago was announce that transgender individuals already serving the military would be allowed to serve openly, and he forced the military to set a date as to when transgender individuals would be allowed to enlist. Well, when President Trump was elected, one of the first things he did was to look at this and basically say, we need time to rethink all of this and its impact on our military. That has been fought in the lower courts. In fact, those battles are continuing. So basically what the Supreme Court said this morning, to be very specific, is that while these court challenges are continuing in these lower courts, and there are several groups, homosexual groups, transgender groups, that are fighting this, that the Trump administration is allowed to go ahead and implement the restrictions that they wanted. So it's to be announced yet where we will finally go with this in the nation's military. But for now, the Trump administration saying transgender is not allowed to enlist.
Well, and it probably will come back to the Supreme Court because the lower court that it's going back to is the Ninth Circuit, which is extremely liberal.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Supreme Court told the Ninth Circuit to reconsider the case. And I have very little doubt that the Ninth Circuit will put a liberal, progressive spin on this, and it will probably go back to the Supreme Court. It was a 5-4 decision. The four typical liberals all... side with the Ninth Circuit.
Excuse me for interrupting. Just to make this plain and simple, if possible, we're talking about a person in the military, U.S. military, and they are a male, but they want to be referred to as a female.
Correct.
Or dress as a female, and
or have surgery, which in their mind would make them transition to become a female, the military would have to pay for it.
Okay, so the Trump administration has said through the Department of Defense, we don't believe these people should be allowed to serve.
That's right.
And so that's the challenge.
That's right.
Okay. Well, I wonder why the Supreme Court didn't say, well, why do you have to go back to the Ninth Circuit? Why couldn't the Supreme Court just say, you know, the Trump administration is correct, and therefore this is the end of the story?
Well, because the Trump administration is needing the Supreme Court, in a sense, I'm not using the right language, but they needed the Supreme Court to say, because the Ninth Circuit told the Trump administration, you can't enforce this ban. So the Trump administration said, until we get this settled, we want you, the Supreme Court, to allow us to enforce the ban until it runs its course in the court system. So that's all they were asking the Supreme Court to do. And the Supreme Court said, yes, you can enforce the ban until this is finally decided in the federal court.
So the courts, the Supreme Court or the federal courts, they do have policy override on the commander-in-chief.
Apparently. That's what it's been since the Obama administration. And now with the Trump, especially with the Trump administration, the federal courts are taking, and we'll get Ray in here too, but are taking matters that used to be in the sole discretion of the executive, in this case, the commander-in-chief of the military, and saying, no, we will decide it. You
right.
can't. Ed, I have a question about this. Does this mean that eventually, as it percolates back up, it's going to come back to the Supreme Court? And if so, does the 5-4 decision give us any premonition of how the court may ultimately rule?
Well, of course, the Supreme Court doesn't have to take the case. Right. So they could say, no, we're not going to hear it, which means apparently the Ninth Circuit appellate court would be able to nix the policy, the Trump policy, the ban on transgenders serving. I hope that the Supreme Court would take it up. And I think that I would guess, it's just a guess, that 5-4, the Supreme Court would probably defend the president's right to determine who can serve in the military. I mean, this is insane. The Department of Defense has always had the right with the president's admonition to set policy for the military. And that's why under the Obama administration, he directed the Department of Defense to allow homosexuals to serve. And nobody went to court to stop that because President Obama was the commander in chief. So this is another case of the federal court systems, judges, all leftists saying, no, we're going to decide. We're going to decide who can serve in the military, not the commander in chief. This is an outrage.
You're listening to the radio program. Well, it's an outrage, that is, but the Supreme Court made the right decision here.
Yes, that's true.
5-4. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of the program. If you'd like to watch the show or engage us on the internet, and then go to YouTube or Facebook and just type in Today's Issues, and you can watch the show live there. Also, we're posting the stories that we've been discussing at our Facebook page, Today's Issues Facebook page, and you can, engage with other listeners there as well here on American Family Radio. Well, joining us, as he does most Tuesdays, is Dr. Frank Turek, who's the president and founder of Cross Examined Ministries, and Frank joins us from North Carolina. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, gentlemen. I've been in the military. I've got two sons in the military, and obviously, there's no right to serve in the military. The military is a organization put together to serve the country, not to serve the individual. So the individual has to forego many of the rights he or she may have when they're not in the military in order to get into the military. And you have to have certain qualifications. There are physical qualifications, mental qualifications, age qualifications. There's all sorts of qualifications that you need to meet. And for a court to step in and say, well, this is some sort of civil rights issue, there's no civil right to serve in the military.
Right.
It's something you have to qualify for. And the president and the Department of Defense makes those rules.
Yeah, I mean, if I went down to a recruiting office and said, I want to join, and they said, well, how old are you? And I said, 60. Yeah. They'd say, get out of here, old man. You can't.
That's ageism, though.
You can't. Yeah, but that, like Frank's saying, there's no constitutional right to serve in the military.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have one of our listeners on Facebook here, a lady by the name of Peggy, says, my grandson was rejected from the Army for having 4 to 5 warts on his elbow, but the military will accept these mentally mixed up, gender confused individuals. That's the government for you.
Wow.
Yeah. And the Ninth Circuit Court, which is Supreme Court, sent this back to, you know, they're out there in California, and any far left thing.
That's right.
They will promote. Okay, so this is Sanctity of Human Life month here on
right.
our, and Ray. By the way, Ray, you still there?
I'm still here.
You're not drinking whiskey, right? Right.
I've got it on order. Let me check.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, Frank maybe doesn't know. Ray's been out of commission for the last few weeks because of a bike accident he had, and we've already relived the graphic detail of the injuries, and we won't do that again.
We will not.
The gruesome injuries.
There were multiple reasons I didn't go into medical school, but one of them is I don't like to hear stories like what Ray shared. But Frank, the left in this country is freaked out over the prospect of a Supreme Court which would overturn Roe versus Wade. And that's why they fought Kavanaugh so hard and lied about him, slandered him, tried anything they could do to keep him off the court. Ultimately, they couldn't. But that's what about the possibility of Roe versus Wade being overturned in the near future? And should it be overturned, what would be the the country look like with respect to the abortion question?
Well, I obviously think it should be overturned, not just because it deals with abortion, but just because it's a bad decision to begin with. And even some pro-abortion people will admit that constitutionally, it was a horrible decision. In fact, they didn't really find any constitutional principle to support abortion. They just made it up, called the penumbra method. They just decided that a woman has a right to privacy, and that includes abortion. So what it did was it took the will of the people and squashed it by the will of the court. In effect, 7 unelected justices overturned the will of the people in all 50 states. That's just judicial activism, which means you don't get to govern yourself. The court tells you how to govern yourself. So not only has the Constitution been violated, but our rights as Americans have been violated by a court that's out of control. Now, here's what will happen if Roe v. Wade is overturned. There's two possible outcomes to it. If the court finds a fundamental right to life in the Constitution, then that's it. Abortion wouldn't be legal anywhere in the country. But more likely what they'd probably do is they would say that the issue goes back to the states, because abortion had always been a state issue. Criminal law is always a state issue. And so they would send it back to the states. Now, if that were the case, what would happen is every state would have to decide what they would do with the issue of abortion. Now, obviously, many states would just keep the status quo. Others, maybe Mississippi, maybe South Dakota, maybe Utah, maybe some other country or states would restrict it. But at least it would give the people the opportunity to make the law rather than the court.
Frank, what do you think about the argument that some people on the other side have made, that this would create such a patchwork system around the country that it would be inherently unstable, i.e. we would be going back to pre-1973, and yet it wouldn't end the battle over abortion. It would just shift it to 50 different state capitals. Is that a legitimate argument or not?
Well, it's a true argument that that it would shift to 50 state capitals, but that's why we're called the United States. We have state governments that deal with these issues. There are different rules in California than there are in Mississippi for a reason. Because if you like the rules in California, move there. If you like the rules in Mississippi, move there. That, in other words, you get to vote with your feet, too. You can move away. In fact, you know, I live in North Carolina, and we've had so many Northerners come to North Carolina just to escape the high taxes of the Northeast. The problem is they come down here to the North Carolina, they start voting like they did up there, and they create the same kind of problem that they were fleeing from.
Yeah, no, those lousy Northerners.
Well, come on. I'm from the North. Forget about it. Anyway. No, I mean, why are you voting the same way that you just were? Because you're creating the same problem you flew. But in any event, no, that's the way our country's set up, this federal concept where you have 50 states that get to decide their own laws when it comes to criminal law, basically. And that's what abortion is. Same thing is true of marriage, by the way. Marriage has always been a state issue. So when the court jumped in and said, no, now it's a federal issue, they just usurped everybody's will and said, we're going right. to put our own will into law. And by the way, that's what the Ninth Circuit does. You guys were talking about the transgender issue in the military. Yep. Ninth Circuit just decides, this is what we think the law should be. It has nothing to do with what the law actually is. We're just going to decide this is what the law is.
And that's what we call activist judges. They, yeah. Because the state legislatures or the U.S. Congress – doesn't pass laws to their liking. They just simply do it. Okay, we can't get anybody to agree to do it, so we're going to declare it so.
Mm. Yeah. You're listening to...
By the way, we just did an entire show on this last week here on the American Family Radio Network on this abortion life issue. And one of the things, and they can listen to it on the podcast, but let me just say one thing that was just discovered a few years ago in Florida on the abortion issue. Florida records a reason for every abortion that occurs in their state. And in 2015, there were 71,740 abortions. 98.6% of the abortions were purely elective. In other words, they had nothing to do with the health of the mother, nothing to do with the health of the fetus, the child, nothing to do with fetal abnormality or any of that. 98.6% were just, I just don't want a baby right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, when you think about it, that is horrific. Wow. That people are just deciding, I'm just going to kill my child just because I don't want one.
Hey, Frank, before you go here, I wanted to get your take on the, I'm sure you've been following the situation with the Catholic school kids who have been accused of harassing the Native American man on the mall there in Washington, D.C. at the Lincoln Memorial. You follow this?
I heard about it, but I have not seen the video. Apparently, I saw an article this morning that there was a longer video about it, but I don't know the details of it.
Well, then you're fully qualified to comment.
That's the
left wing media. All they need is a picture of a white kid staring at an Indian man, and the white kid's guilty of everything.
Yeah.
Is it? Is he? I did not know that. Well, that sounds tolerant, inclusive, and diverse.
No, I was
Doesn't
being
it?
I was being
the
sarcastic.
The reaction, but you were accurately expressing what happened.
Yeah.
And the initial outpouring of anger towards not just this one kid, but several of his classmates was so bad that the Catholic school to which they belonged was saying, we may have to expel these kids until the longer video came out.
Yeah. Well, so you haven't been following the president.
No, I did see, though, that the president, there was a headline today, it said the president has supported the Catholic kids and said they were smeared by the media.
They were. Okay. And the president, and I applaud the president for having the guts to speak out on this truthfully, because there would be no other Republican would defend these kids. I don't think very few would, because they would be afraid of being branded with the racist label. But if you don't know what happened here, and we're going to talk to Sandy about this over the weekend. Well, they had the National Right to Life March for Life.
It was the March for Life on Friday. These group of kids from Covington Catholic School
in Covington,
Kentucky.
Oh, Covington, Kentucky.
They were waiting for the bus to pick them up. The march was all over. They're waiting there for the bus to pick them up. There is a set place there in D.C. And there was a group that calls themselves Black Hebrews. They were about five of them were like across the street from them. And they were taunting these kids, calling them all kinds of names that we cannot repeat.
I don't think they were across the street. I think they were on the same side, but they were separated.
At the Lincoln Memorial, right?
Yeah. Right.
But they were saying things, derogatory things about these kids.
Things that they're so bad we can't say them on the air.
Can't say them on the air. Some of these kids had Make America Great hats on. And that, when the longer video came out, it became very clear these kids were doing nothing wrong.
Right.
They're just standing waiting there for the bus. This Native American guy comes up to them and is beating his drum. The first take on all this, they were laughing at this Native American man. That was the initial story.
And that they had surrounded him.
Well, the longer video came out, it was exactly the opposite of that.
Right.
Yeah, you had this Native American man who's 64 years old. He walks into the inner circle of these kids. Yep. These kids were doing a school cheer, and this guy. So it was the whole thing was to stage.
Yeah.
And to make these kids look terrible, and they were. Anyway, thanks, Frank. Thanks for not
this
knowing
is why
anything
American
about
Family
it.
Radio is so important, gentlemen.
Appreciate your comments there.
Thanks.
All right, we'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
I don't know how many of you saw the recent reports. I found it rather interesting that there was a recent plague of locusts at a mosque in Mecca. I found that pretty interesting.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News reporters. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Who said this? Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. I was quoting none other than George Washington, our first president and father of our country, who said specifically that religion and morality are indispensable supports for our government and our culture. We're going to be going to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington, in June and September. If you'd like more information on this, please go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com. We'll also be going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. If you'd like to do both tours or one or the other, that's fine. For all the information, again, June and September, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. We'd love to have you during these 2019 tours.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu.
Lady Gaga, who once wore a dress made entirely of meat to an award ceremony, said she is a better Christian than Vice President Mike Pence. Miss Gaga told a crowd at her show in Las Vegas, "The vice president is the worst representative of Christianity in the world."
And to Mike Pence, who thinks it's acceptable that his wife work at a school that bans LGBTQ, you are You say we should not discriminate against Christianity. You are the worst representation of what it means to be a Christian.
So the second lady, Karen Pence, is teaching art at a Christian school. The school requires staffers to follow the Bible's teachings on marriage and sexuality. Miss Gaga made a name for herself preaching about tolerance and acceptance, except apparently when it comes to Christians. It's just too bad Lady Gaga doesn't practice what she preaches. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, Fred Jackson, and Dr. Ray Pritchard. And we thank you for listening. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Sandy Rios joins us every Tuesday that we can make it work for her and for us here. Sandy, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Sandy hosts the show Sandy Rios in the Morning, and she serves as Director of Governmental Affairs for our ministry here at American Family Association. Sandy, we heard you talking this morning on your show, and we were just discussing for the last few minutes about what happened in Washington, D.C. with those teenagers, the boys from the Catholic school in Covington, Kentucky, and what happened over the weekend. Was it last Friday? When was the March for Life?
It was last Friday.
Anyway, as it turned out, for those who don't know, you really need to read up on this story, but this Native American man, 64 years old, made a story up that he was surrounded by these teenagers from the school and was harassed and so forth, intimidated. And as it turns out, the opposite was true, as Fred said. You talked about this morning, Sandy. The Indian man went up in the middle of their circle and started playing his drum right in their face, trying to provoke them. He wanted them to push him or knock him down or something like that. That didn't happen. But the picture is of this teenage boy wearing a MAGA hat, and he's white, and therefore he's That's all you need to know.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Let me read the headline.
From what?
From the New York Times. The initial headline.
By the way, a lot of people on our side bought into this.
I know.
And when I saw the picture, I thought, oh, I hope that didn't happen.
Right.
This looks terrible, harassing this poor little Indian man.
Right.
The whole thing was fabricated. Go ahead.
Here was the headline from the New York Times. Boys in Make America Great Again hats mob Native elder at Indigenous People's March. That was the headline. Oh, Washington Post, the Catholic Church's shameful history of Native American abuses.
We don't have journalism anymore. As I say, they're guilty because they're white, Christian.
And have MAGA hats.
MAGA hats. That's all you need to know.
Make America
they're
great
guilty.
Again. Right.
Whether they are or not doesn't matter.
Right.
So, Sandy, the president spoke in defense of these teenagers. By the way, this school that they're from in Covington, Kentucky has had to shut down for at least a day.
Temporarily.
For security purposes.
Some of the boys are getting death threats.
They didn't do anything wrong.
No.
Go ahead, Sandy. What do you want to add to this?
Oh, I don't even know where to start, Tim.
Yeah.
I think just to kind of lay it out a little, maybe Fred did this already, but there was a group of four or five black activists, and that's the kind of thing I could think to call them. I think they call themselves the Black Israelites, something like that.
Black Hebrew Israelites.
I'd never heard of them.
Black Hebrew Israelites. And they started, I had actually heard this early on, but I couldn't play it because it is so vulgar, the things they were shouting at the boys. They called them products of incest. They called them crackers, school shooters.
Just to set the scene, just so people are clear, this is the Lincoln Memorial. This is after the March for Life. These looked like about 20, 25 maybe students, teenagers from this Catholic school are waiting for their bus to arrive.
It's an official pickup spot.
Pickup spot. So they're designated to be there. They're waiting. They're just having fun. They're kids. And so these men you just described are taunting them from a few feet away, I guess. I don't know how far away. And then this Indian man, 64-year-old Indian man, is playing his drum, and he's supposed to be there for some other kind of commemoration or whatever. Anyway, so that's the picture. That's what's going on here. And this, go ahead, go from there.
Yeah. Well, so one little other piece is when these guys started with these black Israelites were screaming at them obscenities and other things, horrible insults. The boys asked the person that was with them, their teacher, if they could do their school cheers. It's an all-boys school, and they have a lot. And if you've ever been to the March for Life, the kids are cheering all the time. I think that must be typical right. In Catholic schools. They've got a lot of, it's refreshing. So the boys, in response to the insults, decided to do their school cheers, and that's what they were doing. So that's when this Nathan, whatever his name is, the Indian elder, this, you know, sympathetic figure who later wept on CNN at how horribly he was treated, sort of slowly, like a slow march in tempo with his drum beating, made his way to the boys.
Right.
And got like millimeters away from this kid's face. And he was beating the drum
right.
along with their rhythm. So they thought he was being sympathetic with them.
Right.
And then the people with him started shouting at them that they needed to go back to Europe. I forgot what else they call them. So the thing that seems the most disgraceful to me, Tim, now the Washington Post probably did the lead piece, no surprise. And what they tried to do was make this, they were trying to denigrate the March for Life by linking it with Donald Trump, these MAGA hats, and look how these kids are acting. They're only acting this way because their example is Donald Trump, the racist bigot that he is. So the march is filled with these racist bigot kids. And Donald Trump is a racist bigot, and he should not be. They claimed that pro-lifers don't think he should have spoken at the march. How dare they let him taint that march that way? And the influence he's having on kids. Look at this. It's terrible. So then that happened. Excuse me. So you got all these people weighing in on Twitter saying that one guy said, I think it was a Hollywood producer said, that the boys should be thrown into a wood chipper and we should watch it.
Gosh. Oh, that was pretty. That was about normal when I was reading tweets from celebrities, entertainment types, and even news media types about this immediately after it happened. Even Robbie George.
Yes, I know.
From Princeton University went after the boys.
One of our
And he
people.
Apologized. He said, I jumped the gun and I was wrong to do that.
Well, and that's actually lead to what I was going to say. I really think the very worst thing is that the diocese where the boys go to school
yes.
came out with this long condemnation.
Before they even got home.
They didn't even talk to the boys
right.
before
yeah.
they did this. They threatened to, they said they could possibly be expelled. They defended this Nathan, whose name last name I can't remember. They
Sandman.
Defended him.
Sandman, I think.
By the way, he has a history of this. He has a history of lying about these things.
You're talking about the Native American man.
Yes. Right. Yes. And actually, I think that I've heard this said. I haven't proven it. I haven't heard the link made. But that he's a professional protester. Hmm. I'm not sure who pays him. I can't imagine. But that he does this on a regular basis. So the diocese, the school, the mayor of their town,
wow.
all of them jumped on this. And the boys were doxed, which means their names, their personal information was made public. Their lives were threatened. It's just horrendous.
And okay, let's get Ray in because we've.
He's not a potted plant.
He's not. And I'm fired up about this. I would talk all day. Come on, Ray, jump in.
Well, we all are because this is such an egregious thing. Sandy, in your judgment, did these young men from the Catholic school, did they do anything wrong? As I look at it, I can't see them doing anything but just standing there
right.
at the bus. They're assaulted by the black Hebrews, and then this guy comes in beating a drum.
Verbally assaulted.
I'm surprised. I thought they handled themselves well under mm-hmm. that kind of provocation. What do you think?
Oh, I totally agree with you, Ray. Actually, I would change the adverb. I think they handled themselves incredibly. You know, in the yes. face of all of this, the denigration that was happening from the black Hebrews, and they were saying horrible things. Their response was to do school cheers. What a great response.
But why wasn't that the story? If you're going to make a story, why wasn't the story about the black Hebrews hurling these insults
and
profanities
why.
And obscenities at the kids? If you're going to make a story, that really happened.
You know, there was a writer for one of the stories I use this morning, Rich Dreyer, I think his name is. And
Rod,
he was in Ireland.
Rod Dreyer.
Rod, thank yep. you. When I saw that story, he was in Ireland when he wrote this, and initially when he saw just the still shot, he thought, oh, you know, that kid shouldn't be looking that way. Well, the kid just looks that way. It turns out that was his smile. But Rod makes the point that when he was a younger reporter, and I could also say this thing, my own story, but this is Rod's story. As a young reporter, he went to cover a gay rights march, and he said he noticed he was surrounded by the weirdest people. And he described some of them. I can't even repeat the description. One man was completely naked and just wore twigs and leaves. I can't go beyond that. And he said it was just unbelievable. But when the story came out about it, he said there were some normal-looking people. All the stories featured them, showed pictures of them. None of the freaks, and he called them freaks. None of that, because the normal-appearing people in the march advanced the narrative. And this has been happening, honestly, Tim and Ray and Ed and all of you. This has been happening yeah. for decades. It's just that we're just now waking up to it. And that's why I defended Congressman King so vehemently last week, because I know him and I know how this works. And we too easily just believe they did that with Justice Moore. They did it, we tried to do it with Brett Kavanaugh. We too easily take the bait. And mm-hmm. I'm trying to get people to not take the bait. Don't take the bait. Don't let them destroy people like this. Stop and think and measure your sources. And make sure that it's proven before you embrace the nastiness that you hear about other people.
Yeah.
Well, to your point, Sandy, at this point, at least two of the accusers of Brett Kavanaugh have admitted that they lied to try to derail his nomination. And this kid, is it Nathan Sandman? Is that what's his name? Anyway,
Nick. I think.
Where's this kid going to go to college now?
Yeah.
Well, how's this young man going to get a job? His face and his name have been splattered everywhere, all around the world.
All he did was smile.
All he did was smile when this Native American, this Indian guy walked up to him beating the drum. And then he became at the center of the firestorm. How I'm serious. What college is going to accept this guy when they find out who he is? They're going to say, "No, you're that guy. You're that punk that was at the center of that problem."
Smirking at that Poor
his life might be ruined because of the media.
I think is what was the proper facial expression that he should have taken for the picture?
Yeah, he said he was smiling
to diffuse
to let this man know I am not going to attack you.
Right.
I'm just being here. You're doing.
But that was a smirk.
Yes.
Now, if he had had a stoic look, he would have been. He's looking down on this.
Right.
So it was a no win as far as the picture goes. Also, when somebody's presented taller than another person in a picture, you're looking down upon them.
He was on a step.
So, and this Native American guy could have walked around him if he would have been. He wasn't being denied going anywhere. This guy, this was a whole setup. This Native American man, and he's banging that drum. He walks up to him and just starts banging his drum within inches of his face, of this kid's
Tim, face. I'm sorry.
Most people's natural reaction in that situation is to, either I guess you back away or you tell the person to get out of my face.
Right.
Huh? And so I think the Native American guy was looking to be punched.
He was provoking him.
Huh? He wanted the white kid to push him. That gets on video. That goes viral. That's all you need to know.
Right.
It's all a setup, really, to destroy the reputation of the march.
Right.
Because of its influence on young people who might actually think Donald Trump isn't such a despicable person. And it also, it's the whole abortion thing, that look at these people, how horrible they are. So it's a whole bunch of things. It's like a two-shot. Like they're going to take people out in one shot, but it's a complete lie. And by the way, Tim, just for information, it was the Indigenous People's March. So I think there were maybe, as far as I could tell, there were two people there. I believe this is true. I heard others say that this was not by accident. This was a total setup to destroy the reputation of the march and the president.
Well, thank goodness there was a video. Otherwise, these kids' lives would be over forever.
They'd have been expelled from school. They'd have been done.
If there wouldn't have been a video,
because
their own diocese went after
them.
Everybody went after them immediately without even knowing the. So if there wouldn't have been a video, they'd have been it's kind of like anyway. All right, Sandy, thanks so much.
You're welcome. I think.
Appreciate. Well, no, I heard you talking about this morning on your show, and
no, I know I'm upset, and I think Tim, the one thing that I'd want to say that I said this morning is. We are living in a very dangerous time. This is propaganda. I say that all the time, but this is how it works. It will destroy people's lives if we do not stand for the truth now. And that means don't be afraid now to take a controversial stand. Say what you think. Say it winsomely, with humility, but don't back down now. Because if we keep backing down, we're going to lose it all.
Yeah. Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Okay, bye.
Sandy Rios. The president did comment on this. I mentioned this earlier. He says the president tweeted, looks like Nick Sandman and Covington Catholic students were treated unfairly and early judgments proved to be false, smeared by the media. Not good, but making big comeback. New footage shows that the media was wrong about teens' encounter with Native American. He goes on to talk about fake news here. But, you know, applaud the president because, you know, I don't always agree that his tweets are the best or the wisest because he wears his feelings on his sleeve. That can be good and bad. But in this case, he is probably about the only Republican that will come out. Well, I don't know about that, but Ray, that will take a public stand on this situation. Most people would be running from these kids, even if it proved to be false, because they don't want to be, identified with these racist kids.
Well, you know, Tim, you said it the first. When you first saw it, your thought was, oh, no.
Right.
Oh, no, I hope that's not some of ours. I do think, and it's a point Sandy was making, that on our side, we have become, we've gotten pushed into a corner a little bit ourselves. Too many evangelical leaders over the weekend jumped on the bandwagon against these kids.
Yes.
That they, right, Fred? Just the first report, they were willing to believe the worst about these young people. And now further videos come out. And basically, as far as I'm concerned, these high school kids are completely exonerated. Mm-hmm. It's a lesson to all of us that the first reports, especially from the liberal media, ought not to be believed that way.
Anything else to add to this?
This morning on Fox and Friends, one of the moms, one of the kids, was interviewed, and she was also a chaperone for the group there. So she was there. She had some interesting things to say in the interview with Steve Ducey at Fox and Friends, asking if they were targeted because some of these kids were wearing these MAGA hats, Make America right. Great Again. This was her response in that exchange with Steve Ducey, cut four.
Jill, you say that your boys, the boys there, were targeted. Was it because they were wearing MAGA caps?
I think that was one of the reasons they were targeted, and I think they were also targeted for what they stood for, which is Christianity, the right for life, and they were singled out, and I believe partially because of the color of their skin they were targeted.
So, yeah, that's mom, one of the boys, and also a chaperone there. Yeah, and I think that has something to do with it. Every story that I've seen on this mentions some of the kids wearing the caps.
Right.
So is that now justification in the mainstream media's mentality of all of this? If you are associated in any way as supporting Donald Trump, you are the enemy. I think we have reached that point. And with regards to the skin color, it seems to be a lot of that, that if you're a white male in particular, you seem to be in the crosshairs of a lot of people.
Well, Ray, I don't think it's an unfair assessment what this mom was saying, because these five black Hebrew Israelites, that's the name of their cult. It is a black nationalist.
How many more members they got than that? I never heard of them.
I don't know. But anyway, they were making racial comments to the group of young men.
Yes.
And then also one of the Indians who was with the main guy who was beating the drum, he was telling all these white kids, go back to Europe, you stole our land. So that was racial. So at least part of it was, they may have went towards the kids like this Nick Sandman who had the MAGA hat on initially going to them. But Ray, it seems clear that support for Trump, being a Christian, being pro-life, and being white is what drove a lot of this uproar in D.C.
You know, Ed, I think the media before this weekend, number one, they'd never heard of Covington Catholic School.
Right.
They didn't care anything about these kids. They're only doing exactly, Fred, doing exactly what you said. If it had not been for them wearing the MAGA hats, this story gains no traction whatsoever. They're using these kids to trash them because they hate the fact they're Christians, hate the fact they're conservative, hate the fact they're Catholic, hate the fact that they're pro-life, and hate the fact that they support President Trump. And I think that's what's down at the bottom of all of this. It stinks to high heaven. And I think we ought to start to learn from this that when these kind of things are reported in the media rather than piling on, we ought to step back and everybody to take a deep breath, because usually there's going to be another side to come out here. I think the mainstream media, they're already discredited, but they're worse than discredited now because what they've done to these young men.
So it's not, it's just a quick comment. So it's not invalid for the president to say fake news.
Yeah.
Because that's what's happening over and over again. It's fake news. It's not real.
Well, what's lost in this, we even haven't even talked about, maybe I talked about it yesterday. I wasn't here, but what happened with the story about the president, the other fake news that happened over the week.
Oh, you mean about BuzzFeed?
Yeah.
We did talk about that.
Okay, well, that's a huge story, but that's fake news.
Yes.
Okay. I think, did I interrupt somebody? Were you going to say something, Fred?
Well, I was just going to say this race baiting, watch out, folks. This is going to be a major theme of the Democrat presidential candidates that you're going to hear over the next 18 months.
They've already started.
Joe Biden, who apparently may run for president in 2020, yesterday, as part of the MLK Day celebrations, he was speaking at Al Sharpton's, I think, headquarters. And he couldn't get beyond just celebrating the life of Martin Luther King. He had to introduce race politics into it. And even though he didn't mention the president's name, it was about the president. And David Webb, who is a African-American conservative talk show host, was asked about this morning. So what you're going to hear is Joe Biden and then the comments from David Webb.
We've learned in the last 2 years, it doesn't take much to awaken hate. 50 years later, the hate that cut your dad down is still nurtured by those forces of darkness. It's not an accident. They have been deliberately reawakened again.
Look at the backdrop of where he's speaking. The National Action Network, led by one of the premier racists in America, Al Sharpton. And look at what he has not done for the black community. He soaks the money, they donate money to him, and he wastes the money on his lavish lifestyle not paying his taxes.
Yeah, so there you have it. So I just, folks, if you think it's nasty, get ready. Now, get ready for it.
I don't know, Ray, when do you reach a saturation point where, you know, it's the boy that cries wolf and people don't pay and you're discredited? In other words, there's real racism that goes on that needs to be pointed out from time to time. But if everything's racism, is anything racism?
You know, I wish I could be optimistic and say we've reached the boiling point. But I agree with you guys. We're not even close to it. Buckle up, people. I wouldn't exactly use the term a race war, but race baiting is going to be on the Democrats' agenda between now and 2020. This just the beginning of what's going to happen. And
really,
I wish we were at the end, but we're not. It's going to get worse.
Well, and just to show, you know, we've been talking about for months now how, really since the start of the Trump administration, that the Democratic Party is not the Democratic Party of our fathers or, you know, of the 70s. It is being in the process of being captured by far leftists and socialists. So we've been saying that. And we've been talking about the impact of candidates like 29-year-old Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Well, a new poll out, this is an Axios Survey Monkey poll, says...
A monkey poll?
Survey Monkey. It's a polling group.
Okay, all right. It just sounded like something I probably...
A monkey poll.
They surveyed monkeys, and here is what... No, it's an Axios Survey Monkey poll found that 74% of Democrats and people who lean Democrat would consider voting for Ocasio-Cortez if she were old enough to run for president. And that she is as far left as you can get.
Ed, say that again. What percentage would
74% of Democrats and people who lean God. Democrat would consider voting for Ocasio-Cortez for president if she were old enough. She's 29. You have to be at least 35 to run. So someone that far to the left, that shows you how far the Democratic Party has drifted to this socialist mentality. So the Democratic Party is, my opinion, I've been saying this for a while, is either going to splinter between the old establishment, the old guard, and this new rough and ready, you know, radicalized leftist wing, or the Democratic Party establishment is going to have to say, okay, we're going left with you young people.
You know what I found interesting? Ocasio-Cortez, how old is she?
29.
She's 29, and she's getting all this attention, and she made a comment over the weekend that it's immoral, quote, immoral, our system allows billionaires to exist.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, so I'm thinking, well, Bloomberg is the...
George Soros.
The former, Bloomberg,
George
yeah.
George Soros, yeah.
The former mayor of New York, he's considered running for president, and I know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As a Democrat or an independent, but he's a billionaire, and you got a lot of billionaires on the left, and I guess would you call them immoral? But the system, she says, in other words, the system should not allow anyone to become a billionaire.
Right.
That's immoral. That's what she says, which is what vintage socialism.
Yeah.
Right. All right, Fred. Thank you.
Good to be here.
Ed and I'll be back with Steve in just a few minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.